Let's get ready to study God's Word. Greetings to one and all. Welcome to another episode of Rightly Divide the Word of Truth. This is Andrew S. Baker, and it's time for another devotional study. Please be sure to visit us at biblestudy.asbzone.com, where you can find links to our previous episodes and various Bible study resources. Let's have a word of prayer before we get into our study today. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for the many blessings that we receive at your hands every day. We ask you to please protect us, please guide us, help us as we go through this brief study. We ask that you will be with the technology, and we pray that it will reach those who need to be reached, and that it'll be a blessing to all. In Jesus' name, amen. Today's study is entitled, Other Kinds of Signs. Other Kinds of Signs. And our passage is Malachi 4, verses 4 through 6. Remember ye the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Okay. Malachi 4, verses 4, 5, and 6. Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. It's written in the vicinity of 450 years before Christ. It is written just prior to the Grecian period. We don't really have a lot of material from the time that Greece ruled. The exception would be the apocryphal Maccabees. The books of the Maccabees, but nothing in the canon covers that period of time. So we have the Babylonian Empire, we have stories and situations from the Babylonian Empire, we have history from the Medo-Persian Empire, and then of course we have history from the Roman Empire, but we just largely skip over the time of Greece for reasons that are not clearly understood. This passage, as it is written here, is very interesting. The book of Malachi is a very interesting book. It's used in special ways. People remember it for the tithe and offering verses, Malachi 3. But it has other purposes as well. There are other key passages in here, including the one that I read, verse 6. In this prophecy, in this little prophecy, is a foreshadowing of not only the work of John the Baptist, who fits this Elijah prophecy, but also a foreshadowing of the great and terrible day of the Lord God Almighty, the final event. Before the final event should come upon the world, God is going to send someone, doesn't have to be an individual, but he's going to send someone, as represented by this particular passage, to teach, preach a message of reconciliation within the family. Now, the reason this is entitled Other Kinds of Signs is because when you speak to most Christians and you speak about signs of the end times, the predominant signs that we pay attention to are found in Luke 21 and Matthew 24. And, you know, wars, rumors of wars, pestilence, earthquake in diverse places, or diverse places. And we emphasize that. In fact, every time there's an issue, just this week, we've dealt with an eclipse, a solar eclipse in North America, a full solar eclipse, or total is the proper term, total solar eclipse. And that with hurricane, you know, last week we had earthquakes in a couple of places, including New York. Prior to that, we had some tornadoes in the Midwest. Right? So all of these signs get people itchy and they start paying attention to religious things for a little while at least. And those are the signs people remember. Distress of nations, conflict, strife, etc. But there are other signs that are given to us. Not just signs in nature, not just signs in nations, but signs within families. And this is an important one. It's interesting how these last three verses work in that chapter. Remember ye the law of Moses. That's what God says. That's the message that God gives. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and the judgments. Remember the law of Moses. Now, the law of Moses, when that phrase is used, it tends to deal with the civil laws and the ceremonial laws and the laws governing sacrifices and so forth. The Ten Commandments are not referred to as the law of Moses. Right? Not that phrase, the law of Moses. The Ten Commandments can be referred to by the law, or the books of Moses can be referred in a more general sense. Usually the first five books. Job is also a book of Moses and is not typically included when you say the law. The Job is considered wisdom writings like Psalms and Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. But here we have a prophecy. The Lord says, I'm going to send Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. We speak about the day of the Lord at another point. Because the day of the Lord is going to be a day from the Lord's timing, not from ours. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. So there's a message of reconciliation here. And this is not just within the church. This speaks of a broader message. Elijah was a prophet of God who did not only deal with Israel. Elijah was sent to deal with all sorts of scenarios. In fact, before his translation, he was sent to Syria to deal with a king there. So the Lord set him on different missions. So we should not interpret this passage automatically as being restricted to the people of God. Okay. One of the recent trends, we're in an interesting phase in society in the Western world where there has been a steady pushback against feminism, which feminism has been kind of going strong since, let's say, the 1950s and definitely the 60s. So from that time period till now, which would put it at 60 to 70 years, feminism has been very strong in Western society. And recently, within the last few years, we've started to see pushback against the ills of feminism as impacting the society. And all sorts of things have stemmed from that in many people's view. And we're in a place now where there is a secular focus on the home and marriage and family. And there are studies being done that show the impact of certain configurations on the family. So almost every study agrees that a two-parent household is the best scenario for the children. And single-parent homes have issues, primarily if they're mother single-parent homes, which is strange, right? Seeing as how prevalent that scenario is. So it is true that when mothers are forced to raise children by themselves, for whatever reason, outcomes are not as good on average as with father-only led homes or two-parent led homes. So society is paying attention to this now. Society is paying attention to this now. As a result, the church, which has prophetic instruction that has a bearing on this, is late. The church is late to the discussion. This is a sign just as profound as earthquake in diverse places or wars and rumors of wars. This is a sign of the end that is coming. This is a warning. This is an opportunity for us to recognize that God's promises are accurate. We also need to recognize that there is a shortness of time, right? We get used to the big symbols, the big signs. We get used to wars and rumors of wars. There are so many places on this planet right now that are in civil war. It's a shame. But the big signs are easy to overlook. As they happen with more frequency, we pay attention to them less. These other signs, these signs in the home and in the church, these signs are important for us to acknowledge. They give us an opportunity to teach people godly principles, because unfortunately, when the world embraces something, they don't get the clean version of that. They don't get the best version of that. And so if God's people are alert and looking and listening, they can begin to provide resources and information to help people better understand families. There's no reason to let the secular community take over this discussion. It's important for us to remember the promise. It's important for us to seek reconciliation within our own families, because now is the opportunity. Right? Now is the reminder that we don't have a lot of time. So we need to take advantage of it, because The promise is here in Malachi 4, verse 6, but there's a warning at the end of it. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. So if we were just laying about, not taking advantage of this, not seeking to ensure that everybody understands the right way and understand what God requires and what God sets as the ideals that we should be pursuing, we have an opportunity now to deal with this while people are receptive. Many people in the world, some of them religious also. Let's take the time to meditate on this passage. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Let us pay attention to all of the signs that indicate that the Lord's coming is near. Let us not be reluctant to share the good news of the gospel, because we don't have a lot of time. And also preparing our hearts for final events. Or maybe preparing our hearts for God. We need to surrender to him so that he can prepare us, guide us for final events. Okay, let's close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for your mercy and goodness and love. And we ask, Lord, that you'll please bless us. We thank you for these signs. We know that the worldly folks are catching on and they see this trend. They're moving in a direction that they believe benefits the society. Help us to be willing and able to present this from the biblical perspective, what it is that you would desire of us. Forgive us of our sins, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for listening to this podcast. You can reach us via email at BibleQuestions@ASBZone.com. We look forward to hearing from you, whether you have questions, comments, suggestions, or concerns. We also recommend that you check out the True Wisdom podcast, where Robert and I discuss Bible stories and other Bible topics together. Both of these podcasts can be found on over a dozen platforms, including YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon Music. Please remember our ministries in your prayers. Until we meet again next time, may God richly bless you as you prayerfully study and share his holy word. Thank you.